The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such be a one to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, Ruth. I wonder if you can relate to any of these sayings. Relationships are a bit like garage sales. They look good from a distance, but up close it's just a pile of rubbish you don't need. Or what about this one? Relationships are like a walk in the park, Jurassic Park. Or have you ever thought of putting this on a Valentine's card? Sometimes I wonder how you put up with me. Then I remember, oh, I put up with you, so I guess we're even. Or what about this phrase from Woody Allen? Life doesn't imitate art, it imitates bad television. You see, I guess for all of us, we're pretty aware, aren't we, that relationships can be difficult. Family relationships can be hard when there's a long-term disagreement. Work relationships, well, when they go sour, it can put a lot of stress on your life. And when neighborly relationships go well, it can even be difficult to live in your own home. Or maybe rather than the relationship itself causing the stress, maybe it's another situation that's causing stress. And because of that, then we're losing our temper more often at work with our family or our work colleagues, and they're losing their temper with us more often. And what on earth are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just pretend like good Christians that we've forgotten and forgiven? What do we do when all we want to do is get even? Well, probably like you guys, I'm a bit of a failure when it comes to relationships. So let's pray and let's ask God to help us as we look at this passage. Heavenly Father, wisdom comes from you. It doesn't come from me. So please, Lord, would you help all of us as we look at your word, as we think about it? Please, Father, would you help us? Would you open our hearts and minds? Amen. That one's off. Not sure there's a bit of feedback coming on. Okay, as Ian said a few minutes ago, if you've been coming here recently for the past few weeks, you'll know that we've started a new series on relationships. And 2 weeks ago, we saw from Genesis 1 that relationships come from God. God is the one who is relational. He's invented relationships in the first place. And then last week, we saw Genesis 2, where God created people, man and woman. He created other people for us to have relationships with. God doesn't want us just to be on our own. He wants us to have relationships with each other. Now, it would be lovely to leave things where they are, but sadly, after Genesis 1 and then Genesis 2, well, then comes Genesis 3, where people disobey God and their relationship with him is broken, and even their relationship with each other is broken as well. And then things haven't improved by the time Jesus comes along 2,000 years later. There are still relationship problems. So Jesus gives his followers some advice. How to deal with difficult relationships, and that's what we're looking at today. So I wonder if you could pick up a Bible. There are Bibles at the end of every pew. Could you pick one up and wave it at me so I can see that you've got one? Okay, so grab a Bible and open to page 18. Now, it's not page 18 in the Old Testament at the front. End up in Genesis. It's page 18 in the New Testament, towards the back. page 18, and it's Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. So these aren't my bits of advice. I'm pretty rubbish when it comes to relationship advice, so we're going to look at God's relationship advice instead. So that's Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. It's just around about in the middle there. And it starts off, Jesus' advice, if another member of the church sins against you. Now I'm aware as we begin that this might sound a bit too specific. You see, for most of us, our relationship problems are probably outside the church. It might be at work, it might be with our family, though we might have some relationship problems at church as well, especially after Ian's got us to get to know each other more. The more we get to know each other, the bigger the chance of us falling out with each other is. But I want us to see, and I hope we'll see by the end of today, that Jesus' instructions, or the first relationships in the church, they're actually relevant for all relationships. What he says has quite a few principles that we can put to use in any relationship difficulty, be it with our family, workplace, or on our streets. So please keep listening. So verse 15, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. So Jesus' advice is pretty simple. Go and chat to them. Go and talk to them. If you have a problem with someone, go and talk to them. Now it sounds a bit obvious, doesn't it? But I guess if we're honest with ourselves, quite often it's the last thing we think of doing. Just think the last time you had a problem with someone, you probably went and chatted to a different friend. Did you hear what Alice did to me last week? How dare she? Bob has done it again. He's so difficult. He's so unreasonable. He never thinks of anyone apart from himself. Have you ever said anything a bit like that? I know I have. All of us have. You see, when someone hurts us, we tend to tell someone else, or else we sit on our own and we stew it over in our mind and get more and more angry. But what does Jesus say in verse 15? Go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. Go and chat to them. The best thing we can do when we have a relationship problem, when we're struggling to get on with someone, is just to go and talk to them. Now, to understand Jesus' reasons for doing this, have a look at the end of verse 15. Okay, have a look at the end of verse 15. What is the possible positive outcome of this conversation? Can you shout it out when you see it? What's the hope that will happen at the end of verse 15? Say it again. They listen. And if they listen, what then happens? If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. You see, Jesus' aim here, his reason for getting us to talk to each other when we've got a problem, is to heal our relationship. You see, Jesus didn't say that the aim in talking to them is to get even, or to crush them, or to give them a piece of your own mind. No, the aim to re-talk to someone is to heal your relationship. Now, I'm aware that some of us might be feeling a little bit uncomfortable with Jesus' instructions. Okay, it might be that you've heard these verses before and they've been used a bit like a weapon against you. Someone might have said something to you like, listen to me, or else I'll let everyone know what you've done. Or submit to us, or else you'll be excluded from our membership. But Jesus doesn't want us to use these verses as a weapon. Let's look again at the context of these verses. Now, we didn't have it read earlier, but if you look at the passage just above verse 15, there's a block of text, and there's a parable there. Do you see which parable it is? It's the parable of the lost sheep. It's a parable about someone who has gone astray. Jesus says this in verse 12, what do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray.
So it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. See, if someone goes astray, if someone wanders off, if they cause a problem, if they become estranged and they are missed, yeah, you might have lots of other family and friends and work colleagues, but losing even one relationship can cause heartache. So what do you do? What should you do? Search them out. Go through difficulties. Don't stop until you're reunited. And why? Well, because you know they'll be rejoicing when you've regained them. When your relationship is back how it used to be, then things will be good again. Do you miss that broken relationship? You see, that's how God treats us. The aim is to regain the person, to heal your relationship. So go and talk to them. Of course, that's easier said than done, isn't it? So how should we go and talk to someone when we've got a problem with them? Well, Proverbs 15, verse 18 says this: "A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel." If you're going to go and chat to someone about a difficult situation, about a difficult relationship, think carefully what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. Is this conversation going to lead to healing or more division? You see, it might be that you need to give it a bit of time to think through the issue, to get the heat out of the issue. Jesus doesn't give us a use-by date for these instructions. And when you do end up talking to them, seeing them face to face, well, continue to be patient. Listen to them. See, how many disagreements are caused by misunderstandings? So listen to what the person says. It might be that things aren't quite as bad as you'd assumed. In fact, it might even be that the best thing to do would just to be let the matter drop. Now, as a kid, I used to go on holiday to Ireland. I had great times and beaches in Ireland, building sandcastles, a love that I still have now that I've got small children. And another thing that I used to do was dam up rivers and redirect them. There'd be streams going across the beach, and I would put a little wall and stop them and block them up. And as the water level rose, then it would be a race against time to try and build it wider and wider each side. But there was a problem, because as soon as there was one little bit that I'd forgotten about, one tiny little bit that I hadn't built up quite high enough, that would be where the water would start to pour through. And as the water started, the water would start eating away at the sand, and the hole would get bigger and bigger, and the water would get faster and faster, and there'd be nothing I could do to block it again. Soon the dam would be completely empty, and the river would go back to how it used to be. Proverbs 17:14 says this: "Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out." You see, it might be the case that it would be more straightforward, more sensible, just to let the issue go before it escalates. Taking it further with that person might just open the floodgates. So consider letting the matter drop. But if you do need to go and chat to the person, it may be that they've caused you some distress and you do need to go and chat to them. Well, then just be careful with your words. Proverbs 16, verse 24 says this: "Gracious words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Imagine if your words were like honey, like honeycomb. You see, none of us like having our faults pointed out. I hate it, and I'm sure you hate it as well. And it can take a lot of humility to accept that we're in the wrong. So be gracious when you go to point out someone's faults. Be kind in the way you speak to them. Make it as easy as possible for them to listen and to accept what you're saying. That's why Jesus says, go and speak in private. Don't tell everyone what they've done. Don't make a big deal of the issue. Just go to them quietly, be gracious, and hopefully things will go well when you speak to them. Now, before we move on to verse 16, I just want to mention one exception, one situation where it isn't appropriate to go and speak to someone else. And that's if the person who has caused you this problem has abused you, maybe physically, sexually, emotionally, or even spiritually. Speaking to them alone would be the wrong thing to do. It would put you in danger of more abuse. And as well as that, if someone has abused you, chances are they've probably abused someone else as well. Their behavior needs to be reported so that it can be stopped, and it's not appropriate for you to go and speak to them. That's just one exception. But back to Jesus' words, what happens if you do go and chat to someone and it doesn't work out, the conversation doesn't go how you hoped it would? Well, verse 16 says this, "But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you." So Jesus says, go and speak to them again. But this time bring backup. Now, if we're going to go and bring two people along with us, the question is raised, who do we bring? Who would be a good person or two people to bring with us? Well, think about people that you maybe ask for advice. You see, there's a danger there sometimes, isn't it, when we ask people for advice. Sometimes we go and talk to someone and say, can I get your advice on something? But the thing is, we're not really asking for their advice. We're wanting them to agree with us. We're wanting them to side with our version of the events. So we might put a positive spin on everything that we did and everything we said, and we might leave out all the positive things that the other person did and just focus on the negatives. I know I'm often tempted to do this. But do you remember the aim at the very start that Jesus said, if the person listens to you, you've regained that one. You see, our aim in talking to someone about these things is to heal the relationship. And if we're aiming for healing, well, that helps us to know who do we turn to for advice? Who do we bring along with us? You see, think of the person that you normally ask for advice from. Who do you normally talk to when you've got a problem? And think about what you normally say and how they react when you talk to them. Do you get more outraged when chatting with them about the problem or less? Do you get more self-righteous when you talk with them or less? Is there more chance of the relationship being healed as a result of asking for this person's advice or less? You see, sometimes when we've got a problem, well, there are people that we know we maybe should chat to, but we're slow to turn to them for advice because they don't get outraged the way we'd like them to. But deep down, we know these people actually speak a lot of sense. You see, we need to chat to people like that who will help the situation, people who will help us to resolve the situation, people who won't just pour petrol on the fire and throw in a few extra matches for good measure. Now, what is the reason here for Jesus saying that we should bring along one or two people? Can you see what he says at the end of verse 16? "But if you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that..." What reason does Jesus give? Can you shout it out? "Witnesses, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses." But the question is, what are these people witnesses of? When I used to read this, I always thought that these were people who were there when the first problem occurred. These were people who saw how badly you were treated, and they're kind of the heavies that you're bringing in to tell the person to wise up and to stop being so silly. But actually, if these witnesses are witnesses to the first problem, there's actually a bit of a problem with that. What happens if that person sinned against you or caused a problem when no one else was around or when no one else was watching? Then there wouldn't be any witnesses and we wouldn't be able to do what Jesus said. Instead, these witnesses aren't witnesses to what has happened before. They're actually witnesses to the conversation, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. See, this helps explain Jesus' reason. They're there in case the conversation gets out of hand and maybe you need to refer the matter to the church instead. They're there, I guess you could nearly say, as a form of protection. Protection for you or for me, so that others can see that we've gone about the way Jesus has told us to go about it. But they're also there as a form of protection for the other person. You see, it might be possible that we are the people in the wrong. So we need people who will listen to both sides of the argument, both sides of the problem, and they'll help us to see if we're in the wrong or if the other person's in the wrong. So get wise help. So how could this work out in practice? Well, if you've got a problem with someone, if you've tried to solve it yourself and it's just got worse, so they haven't listened, find someone wise. Maybe someone like Ian, our vicar, who's got experience of talking with people like this. Or maybe if you're having a problem with your marriage, maybe it's time to get marriage counseling in, to go and chat to someone like Relate to help you work through some of the issues so that your marriage can be healed and saved. Or maybe if you're at work, maybe it's time to chat to your manager or to chat to HR to get someone else involved to try and cool the situation and get things worked out. That's what Jesus says by saying, bring some extra people along. Now, if things still don't get resolved, then it's time to widen the circle of responsibility. In the church, that would mean raising the issue with the church body. I'm not quite sure how that would work out. It might be with the PCC or with the leadership, or raising it with everyone at the meeting. If it's at work, it might be talking to your union, raising it another level. Or if it's a problem with your neighbor, it might be talking to the city council. But even now, even at this stage, do you remember the aim is still to regain the relationship? It isn't to punish the person or to make them embarrassed, but it's to encourage them to see sense. It's that your relationship can be brought back. The hope is that this person or these people will see the seriousness of their sin, the seriousness of their actions. And as they see it, they'll repent and apologize, and things will be able to get back to normal. And as I've been speaking, you might have the question raised in your mind, why bother? Okay, I can see maybe this is what I'm supposed to do. I can see that as I go and chat to someone that I'll be able to get their relationship back. But why bother going through all the heartache of trying to fix a broken relationship? Maybe it'd be easier just not to bother. Well, think of the person you might be struggling to get on with at the moment. Can you think of them in your mind? Think of that person. And now think back to that parable I mentioned earlier, the parable that comes just before this, the parable of the lost sheep. You see, like the shepherd in the story, Jesus went searching for people who've gone astray, wayward people who've made a mess. And Jesus going searching, God going searching for people to bring them back, well, that includes you and me, and it also includes that person that you're struggling with. So how did God search us out? How did he go and hunt us back? Well, God sent his son Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for us. Think about that. He died to try and fix a relationship. Jesus died so that we could be welcomed back. It doesn't happen automatically. We have to accept his offer of forgiveness. But if we accept Jesus' offer of forgiveness, because he died, we can be welcomed back. So our relationship could be regained. Now, if Jesus died to offer us forgiveness, if he's willing to forgive everyone, then he did that for the other person as well. So if he's willing to forgive even this person that we're struggling with, what makes us think that we can then withhold this forgiveness from them? Do we think that we're better judges than God? Okay, God, you might be able to forgive, but I'm not going to forgive. We put ourselves in the place of God. Now, we don't have time to look at it today, but just after this passage, Jesus gives another parable there on page 19, just at the end of chapter 18. It's known as the parable of the unforgiving servant. You might have heard of it before. A king has a servant who's done some really bad things. He's in great debt. So the king's going to throw him into prison, but the servant begs for forgiveness. And so the king shows him mercy and lets him off this huge debt. And as the servant is walking home, he sees another servant who owes him only a little tiny bit. And he says to the other servant, right, you're going to go to jail until you've paid off this debt. And the other servant pleads with him, says, please don't, please have mercy. And the other servant says, no, I'm not going to have mercy, and throws him into prison. The first servant who was shown mercy didn't want to show mercy to other people. So what did the king do? Well, he threw that first servant into jail until he'd paid everything off. You see, each of us here, if we're trusting in Jesus, God has forgiven us for everything. Everything. Jesus' death on the cross wasn't a waste of time. He died so we could be forgiven for everything. So if we're struggling with someone else, remember that. That the thing that we're struggling with them for is small in comparison to everything that God has forgiven us about. And if you think it's not small in comparison, then pray that God would show you everything that he has forgiven you for. That's a difficult prayer to pray, a difficult prayer to actually be answered, that God would show us our sinfulness. But he will. And his aim in all of this is to regain our relationships, for us to be like Jesus Christ in the way we treat each other. So why don't we end there and let's pray. Heavenly Father, there's a lot of things, Lord, that we've covered in this passage. We thank you for Jesus' advice for us. We thank you, Father, for how wise it is. Father, we know that we struggle to go about doing things the way Jesus says, to talk to people alone rather than talking to others about them behind their back. We struggle to ask people for advice rather than just slandering the first person. Father, you know our hearts aren't great at times. But Father, please would you help us to desire good relationships, to desire healed relationships and regained relationships rather than our own, rather than us being right. Please, Father, would you forgive us for our sin and would you help us to love the other person? Please, Father, would you help us to see the forgiveness that you have given us? And as a result, Father, please, would we then be like you? Would we be forgiving people as well? So we pray that for your glory. Amen.
I'm conscious of time, so we're just going to remain in a very quick prayer time before we sing our final song together. And I'm just going to follow on from what Matt's been speaking into. So just in our heads, in our minds, in our hearts, just let's think about a relationship that we are finding challenging, whether that is our boss, whether that's someone in the home, family, friendships, or someone who we work with. Perhaps it's a relationship that at the moment is very difficult. And as you think about that person, I know it's hard, but let's try to think about positives about that person, some good qualities. And an even more difficult thing to do is to actually thank God for their good qualities, for the gifts that he's given them. And as Matt's also prayed, perhaps God would give us the strength of character to be able to perhaps make some inroads into building that relationship again. As we think and as we pray for that person. So Father, we lift these prayers and the people that we've held in our thoughts and in our hearts and our minds to you this morning. Amen. As I said, I know it's perhaps difficult. There are lots of people with difficult relationships, and if that is you and what has been spoken this morning has struck a chord, then we will be in the side room for prayer and next week as well, as we look at when relationships come to an end and whether that's through bereavement or breakdown. So let's stand as we sing our final song together.